Thank you, choir.
As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, number 710, Faith of Our Fathers. Thank you. Let us continue our worship service by affirming our faith with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And to the Holy Ghost.
as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we would like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Prayer request for our community. Many of you heard about the man who jumped off the bridge in Kingston over here earlier this week. His name is Tony Godsey. Evan's Funeral Home will be taking care of his services and everything. And from according to his obituary, he left behind about 4 children and a lot of family. So let's keep them in our prayers. And they don't really know anything about why or anything like that. So let's just keep them in our prayers. Other than that, I don't really have any prayer requests at the moment. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, ma'am. Pray for them. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes. Okay. What was Darcy's last name? Okay. And she's having back surgery? Okay. We will pray for her. Does anyone else have any? Yes. Amen. That's good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your praises. Yes?
Also, I have to have a stone done tomorrow.
All right. We will keep you in our prayers, Miss Pat. Oh. Yes, ma'am. And then Sharon, you had your hand up there. Amen.
Like this, dear God, you pray for Linda.
Linda.
And Tommy Thompson having health problems at this time. And I'd like to say that it's wonderful to see Bobby Crow and your folks from Chevron.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Yes, greetings to our people from Chevron back there. Yes, ma'am, Miss Owings. Yes, ma'am. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they would like to share? Okay.
A lot of you will remember Seth O'Kegley, who served for Annette here one time while she was at a conference. He was the one that played and preached. And it was really impressive. His grandmother has passed away extremely suddenly and extremely tragically, and so He's asking for prayers for his family. I'm asking for prayers for his family also. And also, my barber, who has worked in the shop that I go to for years now, passed away suddenly on Wednesday. It was very unexpected. And his family and his coworkers and the whole cohort of barbers in the barbershop are really having a time grieving that. So if you'll just keep them in your prayers also, that would be great.
Do you know, I'm sure you do, but do you know what his name is?
His name is Dylan Young.
Dylan Young? Okay. All right, does anyone else have any requests? Yes. Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it has. For those... Yep. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Larry. For those of you who were unable to hear, Larry's my father-in-law, and he's been battling brain cancer for a while now, and he's cancer-free, and that is an enormous praise. In the process, they had to remove part of his left leg, and so he's asking for prayer for recovery from that and all the things that come from recovering from that. But we're very glad that God has healed you. We're very thankful for that. So thank you for sharing. And thank you for taking Liliana too. So not only because, well, you know, we love our children, but it's always nice to have them go on vacation. but also because she has been talking about forever wanting to help her grandmother, help her grandfather, or help her grandmother with her grandfather. So, yes. Keep him in our prayers as well. All right. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share?
We got rain.
Okay. Amen. That's true. It's been a little while, so we're very thankful for the rain. All right. Well, if no one has anything else to share with us, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. We invite you to dwell amongst us by the power of your Spirit as we attempt to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for all of the praises that were given today. Many times we focus on negative things. It's just sort of the human condition. And we forget to say thank you. So Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you for so many wonderful praises that we have, so many amazing praises. Lord, we pray for the various requests that were given today as well. We pray for Bobby Hodge as he recovers from this surgery. And as he continues to fight this bone cancer, may you be with him. Lord, may you be with the families of Dylan Young and with Seth and his family as they deal with the loss of a loved one, with the grief that comes from loss and all of the things that come with grief. May you draw them closer to one another, and may you draw them closer to you and strengthen their faith during this time. Lord, we pray for Linda and Tommy Thompson, for Ray Jones, for Darcy Sword, for Pat and Tiffany, for Wanda, in all of their various situations, Lord, may you be with them. May you give them comfort, strength, and healing. May you give them encouragement. May you give them peace. And Lord, for the family of Tony Godsey, may you be with them as they mourn the loss of a loved one. May you help them to go through grief, knowing that you mourn with them. Father, as we go forth in our worship service, we pray that we would be reminded that worship is about you and not about us. We pray that we would hear your voice and respond in a positive way. And in all things, that we would follow Christ. We pray all of these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If we could have children come forward, we will have our children's time. Good morning, all of you. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing good? All right. So, this morning I want to talk about children. What a shock, right? One of my favorite stories about Jesus is when Jesus is preaching and some children want to come see Jesus because they hear he's a nice guy, right? And they say, you know, let's go see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Well, at this time, children weren't very well liked. Children were seen as lesser than, if you will. They were kind of annoyances that you just sort of put in the corner, right, until they grew up and became productive. And so the disciples said, get away from here. We don't want these children. Jesus is busy. He doesn't have time for you. Go away. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. And he tells people that your children are precious, that God loves children, that God created children to bring joy. And he tells them that you teach children good things, you treat children well, you love children just as God loves children. They're not annoyances. Yeah, children get up and run around and make noise and all that kind of stuff. That's what children do. That's how God made children. I think sometimes we forget about children, don't you? It's kind of hard being a kid, don't you think? It's kind of difficult to be a kid. The other day, Liliana asked me if she's such a big girl, how come she can't reach things? It's a good question, right? You tell her she's a big girl and then she can't reach stuff. How is she a big girl? It's tough being a kid. But the one thing that we know for sure is that no matter how tough it is being a kid, Jesus loves children. He thinks they're precious. They're not a burden. They're not an annoyance. Children are people too. And in many ways, children are more like God than a lot of adults. So be happy to be a kid. Enjoy your time as a kid. Don't grow up too fast. I can tell you from experience, it's not all it's cracked up to be. So let's make a vow to be children today. What do you think? Think we can do that? All right, let's say a prayer. Come down here and pray with us, little girl. Oh. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for children. Thank you for the children who are here. Thank you for the children who are represented by people who are here. May you bless all children everywhere. May you help us to have childlike faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can go to Children's Church if you would like to. Go find Mommy or Miss Terry. Yes, you can go play with the boat. If we could have our ushers come forward at this time, we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for remaining standing. Our next hymn will be I Know Whom I Have Believed, number 714 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special musical selection, and we will let the choir sing it.
Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Thank you, choir and Clayton. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Peter writes, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So I got to praying about what to preach about today, and thinking and discussing and asking Wanda, because Wanda knows everything. And if it weren't for her, I probably, you know, would have run away screaming a few times. So, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about the disciples. There's 12 disciples. We don't know a whole lot about the disciples. But the disciples each teach us something about faith. So for the next 12 weeks, we'll be talking about the disciples. That will lead us up to about Advent. So then we'll get back to the liturgy and the lectionary and all that kind of stuff. Today I want to talk about probably the best known disciple, which is Peter. Peter is kind of my spirit disciple, if you will, because Peter's got a big mouth, but he doesn't always back it up. I sometimes can say things without thinking, commit myself, and then go, "Oh, hey, I guess I should have thought about that before I said that," right? I think we've all had our foot in our mouth at least once in our lives, so we know what it tastes like. Peter put his foot in his mouth a lot. Peter was the first called, and we actually have a comic here showing maybe the beginnings of why Peter may have denied Jesus. If Keith can bring it up for us. Here it is. As you can see, Peter has ordered some business cards. He's ordered 1,000 business cards saying, "Simon the Fisherman." Peter's regular everyday name was Simon. And then he meets Jesus, and Jesus says, "Simon, from now on you shall be known as Peter." As you can see, Peter is not very happy about this. He's just printed 1,000 business cards, and now he's got to throw them all in the trash and start over. Some scholars think this may be the beginning of Jesus's denial from Peter. Other scholars think that it may be because Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. There's no actual proof of that, but that's what some scholars think might have been behind this denial. Let's talk about this name first. In our culture, you give a kid a name because you think it's cute. Maybe you want to name it after somebody in your family. I went to school with a guy who was also my roommate. His name was Melmoth Garlington Rivers III. He went by Garth. I think I would have too. He had one of those family names that you wonder, first off, where Melmoth Garlington even came from in the first place, right? Like, who was the first person to come up with that? But now he's the third. There probably wasn't a lot of thought put into naming him that. It was an homage to his father, his grandfather. Most people don't name their children for any purpose other than they like the name, or maybe it has some special family significance. In Hebrew thought, names meant something. You named your child what you wanted them to be. A name was like a prophecy almost. Words had power in Hebrew thought. God speaks things into existence, right? So from the very beginning, words have power. So they would name their children things like conqueror, or prophet, or God saves. So when Jesus comes along and he names Simon, which was a fairly common Jewish, Greekish kind of name, when he names him Peter, it has a purpose. It means something. It's not just, you know, he didn't prefer the name Peter. It's not like he was looking through the baby names book and was like, oh, Peter's a great name. Let's throw that in there. That's not what it was. Peter means rock. It means strong rock, not, you know, sandstone or some of these little rocks that just crush and crumble. It's a rock. It's a firm rock. It's a strong rock. It's the rock on which one builds one's house, right? It's the rock like Jesus is the rock. And he names Peter the rock, and he calls him first. And Peter becomes sort of the de facto leader of all of the disciples. But something interesting that shows up is Jesus still calls Peter Simon. But if you notice, he only calls him Simon when he's messed up. Now, we all know what we get called when we mess up, right? Your parents give you more than one name so that they have plenty to build up to increase the fear. You know, the more of your name they say, the worse off you are, right? Like, we have Liliana, we call her Lily. Lily's familiar, everybody calls her Lily, that's what we call her. She starts to have some listening problems, she becomes Liliana. She doesn't correct those problems. She becomes Liliana Marie. When she's about to have something happen to her that she doesn't like maybe, you know, a timeout or going to bed or a spanking or something of that nature, she becomes Liliana Marie Reese. Jews didn't have all those names, but they did have more than one name. So when Peter was being good, he was Peter. When Peter was being a buffoon, he became Simon again, which would trigger him to think, why isn't Jesus calling me the rock? Peter had a lot of these moments. Let's go through some of Peter's highlights. Peter goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. James and John are there. Jesus is there, of course. It is his transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appear. This amazing scene takes place. Light comes from heaven. The voice of God speaks and says, "This is my son." It's an amazing spiritual moment. And Peter ruins it because he has to say something because he can't keep his mouth shut. He says, "Lord, this is a holy thing." Really, Peter, you think it is? I'm glad you were there to let us know, right? We should build tents so that everybody can camp out, and this is a great thing. We'll just stay on the mountain forever. I'm sure James and John are going, "Peter, will you shut up? We're trying to pay attention to what's going on here." But Peter can't keep his mouth closed. He has to say something, right? Another time, Jesus is walking on the water. And when Peter realizes that it's Jesus, he says, "This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I have to walk on the water too. Lord, let me come out to you." And Jesus says, "Come on." Peter climbs off the boat, gets on the water, starts to go for a stroll, all of a sudden realizes he's walking on water, looks around, remembers that it's deep, remembers that he can probably swim, he is a fisherman, but, you know, he's a long way from shore. He sees some of the waves and the wind and all these different things. He sees the boat over there, and he's getting further and further away from the boat, and he starts to panic, and he starts to sink, and Jesus has to come over to him and grab his hand and take him up, and he chastises him and says, "Where's the faith that you had to step off the boat?" That's Peter's problem. He can step off the boat, but walking on water gets to be a little difficult for him. When Jesus is in the garden, they come to arrest him. Peter takes his sword and he cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. Because Peter has in his mind that Jesus is the Messiah who is going to conquer Rome. And he figures, hey, here we go, it's time for a fight. And he pulls his sword out and he cuts off the weakest guy in the entire party's ear, because he's Peter. And Jesus says, Peter, you've been with me for 3.5 years and you still haven't figured this out. This isn't the way we do these things. Peter's biggest failure came on the night that Jesus was crucified. At the Last Supper, or the First Communion, if you want to call it that, Jesus reveals that someone's going to betray him. And he says that somebody will deny him. He says that they'll basically scatter. Peter jumps up and he says, oh no, not happening to me. I'll be with you till the end. I'll fight till the death. And Jesus says, Peter, before the sun rises, you'll deny me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three is a significant number. In the Old Testament, you had to have 2 to 3 witnesses to be found guilty of a crime. Usually, the elders would gather in groups of three to hear cases in early Jewish history, as well as in small towns and things. Three is a number of judgment in Jewish thought. And when Peter hears this, I'm sure he thought, hey, you know, Jesus says stuff all the time. It doesn't mean anything. You know, he talked about how he was going to be killed, and then he called me Satan because I told him that wasn't going to happen. You know, Jesus says these things all the time. But you know that the seed was planted. He started to think, man, I've really got to not deny him, right? I can't do this. I'm gonna prove Jesus wrong. And so they come and they take him from the garden and they take him into the court. And Peter can't go in the court, but to his credit, he stays out in the outer court. He wants to see what's going to happen. I don't know if y'all know this, but you can tell where people are from by their accents, right? If you get really good, you can tell exactly where they're from. But, you know, if you've grown up, let's say, in Tennessee all your life, and you head to Maine, they're probably going to know you're not from Maine. And depending on how well you have disguised your accent, they may actually know that you're from the South. And if you hear somebody from Maine, you're going to be like, oh, it's one of those, you may not know Maine, but you'll be like, that's one of those people from up north, right? Peter had an accent. He wasn't from around here. So the people gathered around the fire, they said, hey, you don't sound like us. You sound like those guys with Jesus. Are you with Jesus? Nope, I don't know who Jesus is. Are you sure? I'm pretty sure I saw you with Jesus earlier today. You sure you're not? I don't know who Jesus is. I really feel like, you know, I saw Jesus a couple years ago on his first tour. I'm glad Clayton got that joke. And I remember you praying with him. I remember you saying, you were there with Jesus. And scripture says that Peter got so angry that he cursed. He said some bad words. He said some mean things. And he said, I don't know who Jesus is. I've never known who Jesus is. Stop asking me. And then the rooster crowed. And Peter's heart sank. Because once again, Peter became Simon. Once again, the rock became sand. When Jesus is resurrected, I pointed this out at Chevron, I like to point it out. Everybody else is scared. They have good reason to be scared. Jesus is not the first Messiah to show up. And what usually happened with these messiahs was they got crucified because they were seditious. I mean, they were enemies of the state. And then what happened was everybody that followed them got rounded up and got crucified. So everybody's hiding in this room. They don't know what's going to happen. They're really worried. They're terrified. And the only people that were brave were the women. Because Jesus' body had to be anointed for burial. And I can picture it, because I'm a guy, I can picture it, and I think all of us men out there can picture this. The justification was, well, the women have to go prepare his body for burial because, well, it's part of the Mosaic law, but it's also women's work, right? Women prepare the body for burial. That's why I'm not going out, because I don't want to disobey the law, right? We're good at coming up with excuses rather than just saying, you know what, I'm a coward and I'm not going to go out there and get killed. So the women go, they see the empty tomb, they come back, they tell the disciples. The disciples don't believe them because women are hysterical, right? And, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. You can't trust women. So we got to go see for ourselves. So they go see. Lo and behold, Jesus is gone. He's resurrected. And then Peter's story continues. Jesus makes breakfast for his disciples. Seems like everybody's having a good time. They are having fish for breakfast, which sounds kind of gross to me, but, you know, I'm sure Jesus was probably a pretty good cook, so, you know, maybe he could make it taste all right. But they're having fish, they're having a good time. And Peter's standing over in the corner. He's ashamed. He doesn't want to talk to Jesus. Because Peter knows that Judas may have betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But Judas is a traitor. And that's what traitors do. Peter was a brother. Peter was a close, intimate friend. Peter was the first called. Peter was the rock. And he denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Peter condemned himself. Peter blasphemed God. And so he hung out in the corner. And Jesus walked over to him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, sure, I love you. Take care of my people. Be the rock. Peter, do you love me? Yes, of course I love you. Yeah, I love you. I love you. Take care of my people. Be the rock. These first two times, Jesus uses a Greek word for love that is just kind of a, It's a familiar love, but it's a brotherly type of love. It's not just genuine good feelings towards humanity. It's you care about somebody. You love them with an intimacy like brothers love one another. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And he changes the word to agape. Agape means sacrificial love, godly love, love that does not deny the object of your affection. And Peter gets angry. And he says, how come you keep asking me if I love you? You haven't said a thing to him. Jesus says, we're not talking about him. If I want him to stay until I return, it's none of your business. Take care of my people and be the rock. Peter condemned himself because he denied Jesus three times. Jesus redeemed him by asking him if he loved him three times. And the third time he said, do you love me in a way that means you will never deny who I am? That's what this tells us. If we learn nothing else from Peter, this is the message of Peter. Sometimes we're so ashamed of ourselves that we automatically feel like Jesus is too. We go and we hide in the corner and we hope he doesn't see us. And we say, I don't deserve it. I'm a worm. If I go into a church, I'll catch on fire. You know, all these kinds of things that we say. But Jesus isn't. He knew you'd struggle. He told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He knew you'd make wrong decisions. He knew you'd go through rough phases. He knew that the cross would reconcile God to humanity. So he chose it. Because he loves you. Don't go stand in the corner. Don't run away from God. Run to God. That's the message of Peter. That God redeems the irredeemable, forgives the unforgivable, repairs the unrepairable. There is nobody on this planet that has ever lived, and that includes Judas Iscariot, that God does not consider worthy of his love. Because John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, and the Greek word is cosmos, which means the entire created order. We can go through our entire lives being Simon, acting like an idiot, having bad faith, getting our foot in our mouth all the time. But Jesus named him Peter. And when the Holy Spirit came, he became Peter. And he wrote in 1 Peter, Jesus knew you before the foundation of the world. And he still chose the cross. And he still was resurrected. That is the gospel. That is the lesson of St. Peter the Apostle. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, help us to be like Peter, knowing that you knew our failures, you know our failures, you continue to know our failures. And yet your promise, even to Peter, is I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. May we trust that, believe that. May we follow Christ until we return to you or he returns for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, number 507, Through It All. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, follow Jesus. Don't follow man. Don't follow tradition. Don't follow religion or government or anything but Jesus. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Make disciples and love your neighbor as yourself. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
Grace.